So I'm no techie, but I find this extremely fascinating, that a pea-sized piece of debris, or a piece of debris that's no bigger than our fist, could cause absolute damage to large, huge satellites. That right now orbiting the Earth is all kinds of space junk in space that can be dangerous and deadly. And so these little pieces, grain of sand size can cause great damage. Like right now, 25,000 miles per hour, those little pieces are floating through, can cause damage. The reason I bring that up is because I think Jesus, whereas he doesn't deal necessarily, he doesn't say space junk, but I believe there's space junk hurtling through our hearts that can do just as much damage as those pieces of debris in space. They can do damage to our lives personally. They can do damage to the church. They can do damage to large groups of other Christians. And they can do a lot of damage to the reputation of Jesus Christ in a watching world. And so Jesus deals with that. He deals with a sort of spiritual space junk in the passage that we're going to deal with today. Now, the reason why this is important, because I believe everybody in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, you want your life to flourish as a follower of Jesus. That you and I don't come, we don't do small groups, we don't do Bible studies, we don't do quiet time, we don't come to church so that we might be languishing Christians or languishing followers of Jesus. We come and we come in these spaces so that we might flourish in our relationship with Jesus. But we cannot flourish if there are obstacles or limiting behaviors that prevent us from flourishing as followers of Jesus. And I think Jesus deals with some of those limiting behaviors in the passage that we're going to deal with today. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 38 through 50. If you are looking on the Bible that the church has provided, it's page 845, and also the verses are going to be on the screens as well. Now, again, we're continuing this series in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has just finished talking to the disciples about arguing in the back of the van, if you will. You know, he kind of hit me. I'm the greatest. I'm mom's favorite. I'm dad's favorite. And so Jesus, he kind of chides them about seeking and searching for status and fame. And he uses a little child. He brings a little child, puts the little child in their midst who had no status at all. And he says, I want you to be like this child. To which John responds, one of the ones he took up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And John responds, Jesus talks about this child that leads John to ask the question or make a statement. He said to Jesus, or said to him, teacher. Now, John is, I believe, looking for a high five from Jesus from this. Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him. Because, this is the reason why they tried to stop him, because he was not following us. He was not in our group. He was not part of our denomination. That's kind of what he's saying. So John says, we saw someone who was successfully casting out demons in your name, who is using your name in a powerful way, and we tried to stop him. And the tenor and tone of this is, we tried to stop him, but he wouldn't stop. He kept doing it. He kept going. We tried to stop him. I think there's a little jealousy going on here. Remember, y'all remember two chapters before that there were nine who could not cast out a demon, who were sanctioned and authenticated by Jesus. And then we had one who is now casting out demons and being successful. I think we got a little jealousy going on. think we got a little envy going between Jesus or between these guys and this one guy. And so they tried to stop him. They could not stop him. And this is what Jesus says. He said, do not stop him. Do not stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name, this is what he's talking, this is what he's saying, that he is being successful using my name. No one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. So what Jesus is saying, he has made a commitment to Jesus, even though he's not a part of the 12. And Jesus is working powerfully through him. Jesus said, don't stop him. Because he is using my name right, and there's no way that he can turn around and be against me after he is now submissive to the reign and rule of God in his life. But he's not a part of the 12. And yet he's being successful. And then Jesus goes on, for the one who is not against us is for us. Now, what Jesus is saying here is he is saying that I want you to still be discerning, but this individual is actually a part of the kingdom of God. He has submitted to my name and is working on my behalf, even though he's not a part of my group or a part of this group. For truly, I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water, now he's talking about someone who's casting out demons, to someone who's even doing a small act, because you belong to Christ, will by no means lose his reward. So the space junk that Jesus is going after here is this: exclusivity. Us versus them. What Jesus is exposing here, when the disciples say he's not a part of our group, the disciples are now giving a label and a distinction to this guy, and they are saying that this guy is wrong Christian and we're right Christian. The disciples are saying, we have labeled him now as not a part of our group. He is doing the wrong thing. Again, this doesn't happen in our world today, right? Doesn't happen in our world today. Jesus is exposing spiritual elitism. He is exposing spiritual exclusivity. If you're not a part of my group, you're not a part of my denomination, if you don't emphasize the type of the part of the Bible that I emphasize, then you are excluded from what it means to be a real Christian. This is what they're doing. They are saying that you are an outsider. This is what they're saying. And because you're an outsider, we need to limit and censor you. And Jesus says, don't do that. And so Jesus is attacking the us versus them mentality. And this is so true of the body of Jesus today, that we have given labels to denominations and we have given labels to theological paradigms. We have given labels to people who don't think like we think. I'm talking about individuals. Now, I'm not saying put our minds in neutral and we don't have discerning spirits. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about people who are genuine followers of Jesus. They claim the lordship of Jesus, but in our little circle, in our little exclusive circle, we have become elitist, and we say that they, because they don't sound like us, they don't look like us, we discard them. And we say that there's no possible way. We think that heaven is going to be like Chicago. So what I mean by that is, Chicago is the most segregated city in our country. I live there. All you have to say is, I am Jewish, and people will immediately, because they don't have to think, nobody likes to think today, and immediately people will say, oh, you live in Jewtown. If you say that you're German, because just by association, we put our minds in neutral and say, oh, you live in Germantown, because there are, Chicago is kind of segregated according to what you are ethnically. There's a black section. You say you're from the South Side, you say, oh, or if you say you're black, they immediately say you're from the South Side of Chicago, for the most part. If you're white, they say you immediately you're from the North Side of Chicago. If you're wealthy, immediately they say you're from the Gold Coast. That is more downtown, from the eastern part of Chicago. I think we think Chicago's going to be like that. Like heaven is going to be like Chicago. There's going to be a black section. There's going to be a Jewish section. Wait a minute. Well, Jews don't go to, they're not going to be in heaven. So we kick them out. There's going to be all these different segregated sections in heaven. And I think we're going to be surprised at who gets in and who does not. People we think that are going to be in heaven may not be there. And the ones who we thought weren't going to make it in, the people with tattoos and shorts and sandals and baseball caps, they're going to be right there sitting next to you. And you're going to say, how in the world did you get in? Try this on for size. I'm about to get fired. I know I am. For those who are conservative Republicans, there will be Democrats in heaven. And those who are Democrats, there will be conservative Republicans in heaven. Ooh, it got quiet. Should I end the sermon now? Because we have in our minds that certain people God cannot work powerfully through. And what we do, we label them and we become hostile toward them. And we become aggressive and sinister toward them. Here's the reality. A homogeneous body, a homogeneous group, has the ability to be more aggressive toward people who are not like them. And a diverse group says that, whoa, we can think more critically. And we can be truly the body of Jesus if you bring your perspective. I'm not talking about individuals who are not like Jesus. I'm not talking about people who are not claiming Jesus as Lord. I'm talking about individuals who claim Jesus as Lord, who simply are different than we are. And what Jesus is opening up, the way we clean it up, inclusivity. Widen your circle. Widen your circle for people who may not think like you, because God might want to use them to help you have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. How about widening your circle to say, now, I don't agree everything with what Catholics say, but man, there are some godly Catholic people who can teach me to love Jesus. That there are Nazarene and Mennonites. There are Lutherans and there are other denominations that can actually help me to live like Jesus wants me to live. Now I know some people are feeling uncomfortable with this. There are individuals who will probably say, well, oh, the Trinity is going liberal. No, we're going to teach the Bible and we're going to teach it like God wants us to teach the Bible. We're going to teach the Bible. So if you have people in your mind like, oh, they're going liberal, and I know this is, I'm just saying what Jesus says. Jesus says to the disciples, widen your circle. Because there are people around the world who are followers of Jesus, and God is working powerfully through the global church, and we are missing God's powerful work in the West. And I think we have to open our eyes to see how God is at work. I think we are... We have to constantly remember who the enemy is. The enemy is not other Christians. The enemy is Satan. We have to constantly remember that. We are fighting one another. We are lambasting one another. We are labeling one another. When Satan is having a field day in the world, and the disciples, they should have been excited about this man. The kingdom of darkness was being depopulated by one. They should have been, oh, thank you, brother, for casting out another demon. The kingdom of God is advancing. They were not excited. They were critical. And I think Jesus, that grieved his heart. That's our common enemy. I think we're like this. This is one of the most famous jokes, the most effective religious jokes. And they took a poll, and I don't know how they claim this, but this is one of some of you have heard this, greatest religious joke of all time. So it goes like this. Once I saw a guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. And I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. And then I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, I'm a Christian. And I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. And I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. And I said, me too. And then he said, Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region, or Northern Conservative Baptist, Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region. And I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1879, or Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And I said, die, heretic, and I pushed him over. If this is not the Church of Jesus Christ today, we are pushing Christians over the bridge. Christians who are being used by God powerfully. And we have named them and labeled them, and we have distanced ourselves. We have literally cut off a part of the body of Jesus. And I think we're missing it. That there will be charismatics in heaven, Pentecostals. There will be assemblies of God. There will be Catholics and Lutherans. There will be Mennonites. There will be non-denominational Baptists. Even the Baptists make it in. And we have to be very, very careful about who we label as not a part of our group. We have to make a distinct, that's space junk, spiritual space junk. And Jesus says, I want to clean it up. And I want to clean it up with wide inclusivity. Again, we still have to be discerning of spirits. But including people who are also followers of Jesus who may not be like us. All right, so let's move on. Here's another one. So this is, Mark goes on, whoever causes one of these little ones, Jesus goes on, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. The little ones are probably children, because Jesus kind of connects with the last part he did. Children as well as people who are weak in their faith. And probably this man that the disciples were trying to stop. says, little ones who believe in me to cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. It would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Well, the space junk that I want to raise here is insensitivity. And this is insensitivity to sin. The concept here is me versus you. And what I mean by that is what Jesus is talking about in this passage, just in a nutshell, is the disciples were focusing on other people's quote-unquote sin. And Jesus says, you need to pay attention to the sin in your own heart before you try to pay attention to sin in somebody else's life. So Matthew chapter 7 talks about judging others. Remove the beam, the speck from your own eye before you start judging someone else. This is the same and a similar concept. And Jesus says, I want you to pay attention to sin in your own life, where you are tempted to sin. And I want you to do radical surgery to eradicate sin out of your own life before you start paying attention to sin in somebody else's life. That's the concept that Jesus is going after. He is saying that he is not saying, literally cut off your foot. He is not saying literally cut off your hand. And he's not saying literally poke out your eye. What he is saying is, I want you to take sin seriously, so seriously that you recognize that your sin not only impacts your own life, but it also impacts the lives of other people. That what you do actually does impact. So Jesus says the way you clean this up is sensitivity. Take sin seriously. We don't take sin as seriously because God is a holy God. And he says there are no big sins and little sins. And I want you to recognize that your sin can actually cause someone else to stumble. Here's what we believe in our world today, that sin can be privatized. That as long as I keep it close to the vest, as long as I keep it within the four walls of my house, and it doesn't impact anybody, no one else is involved, then it really doesn't impact anybody else. That's a lie from the very pit of hell. I know this might make people feel a little uncomfortable, but your sin behind closed doors, my sin behind closed doors, it does have an impact in people's lives. It has impact in our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives and generations to come. If you are battling, if your eye gate, receiving images in your eye gate in terms of pornography, it will impact not only your spiritual growth, but it will impact your children and your grandchildren and generations to come. Everybody in this room understands that to a certain degree. My dad was an alcoholic. His parents were alcoholics, and if we don't, if Jesus doesn't come and break the cycle, that alcoholism would have impacted my life. And as it would have impacted my life, it would have impacted my children's life. They would have seen me drink and drink and drink, and they too would have been impacted by that. And so our sin can never be privatized. Everybody understands. Everybody says, like My social media page is my social media page. And everybody understands. If you are an athlete, if you are getting ready to go to college and you're getting the admissions counselor, the first thing they now look at, they look at your resume, they look at your application, but they immediately go to your social media page because nothing can be privatized anymore. And as followers of Jesus, he is saying, I want you to understand what it means to live a holy life before a holy God. So to prove it, remember the story of Achan in Joshua chapter 7. Achan took the thing that God told him not to take after they had won a battle. God told Joshua the reason why, because they went out to fight again, and it was a smaller army. And Israel lost to this smaller army. And they mourned in the presence of God. And Joshua was confused. Like, we just beat an army that was way bigger than we were. And then we lose to an army that is way smaller than our army. What happened? And God revealed there was sin in the camp. And God told Joshua to go to Achan, pointed him out. And Achan's quote-unquote privatized sin impacted the whole Israelite army. And it impacted Achan's family. And I want to say this, that the sin that we hold, it not only impacts your family, it impacts this church. I think God wants us to do great things. But our private sins can weaken the power that God wants to give us as a body. Now, again, please hear me. There's no judgment here. There's no condemnation here. This is a pastoral voice. And what Jesus is saying, get rid of it. Eradicate it. Let your love for God be greater than your love for your sin. That's what Jesus is going after. So Marvin, can you move beyond that point? Yes. So here's the next one and the last one. For everyone will be salted, verse 49, with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. So what is Jesus talking about here? Here is the space junk, division or disunity. And this is I versus I. What I mean by that is ego versus ego. Ego versus ego. And Jesus is getting at these guys. He is trying to get underneath the surface of their hearts. Their ego is keeping them from actually being on mission. And so Jesus does three things. So the first one is, for everyone will be salted. What does that mean? That is, technically, what Jesus is saying here, if you follow me, everyone will suffer. You follow hard after Jesus, everyone will suffer. That's kind of the idea, what Jesus is saying. And then salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? What Jesus is after here, that my followers are to have influence in the world. Preserving influence in the world. That where we live, where we work, it ought to be better because you're there. Where we work out, it ought to be better because we're there. The family in which you live, it ought to be better. When a Christian shows up in a dark place, light ought to be turned on. That's the idea what Jesus is after. But if we're living like the world and holding on to private sins and arguing, fussing, and fighting, then we lose our saltiness. We lose our influence. We lose our preserving influence. This is what Jesus is after. And then he says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. In other words, I want you to, again, be at peace with one, not fighting over little things, but be at peace. So what, how do Jesus say we need to clean this up? And then I'll, and then I'm done. Suffer together. Nobody in this room should suffer alone. That we should walk through this together. This is the reason why it's important for you to be a part of a small group, a smaller community. You should not be doing life alone. So this is about suffering together, about being in the thick of it together. But not only that, it's about being on mission together. That's the saltiness losing its flavor, being on mission together, like we did for Love Lansing, or like we did last month when our entire church went out into the community to love. We were on mission together. As husbands and wives, as singles, we ought to be on mission together. And then finally, work for peace together. Work for peace together. Not fighting over who's the greatest, not fighting over who gets the thrones, and we're going to talk about that and that later. It's not about that. This is about how do we drop our egos, our ego attachments, and submit to one another and come together and be unified as followers of Jesus. Because Jesus says, I'm leaving the whole thing in your hands. And I can't have a group of people who are elitist and who are exclusive. I can't have people who are insensitive to sin. And I can't have people who are promoting divisions in the body. And so this is about the body of Jesus being holy. It's about God purifying us, giving us his heart for his body. And so the worship team is going to lead us, and they're going to lead us in this song. Some of you know this song, Refiner's Fire. And I want you to go back, and I want you to take a look as they're singing. I want you to quietly sit with these. What is the space junk in your life right now that's hurtling through your heart that may be disastrous and deadly to you, but also to other people? Disastrous and deadly to the body of Jesus. Disastrous and deadly to other people who claim the name of Jesus. All right, so sit with that for a minute and let that marinate a little bit as the worship team leads us now.